Well, good morning, my friends, and welcome to the Heritage Hour. I'm Mark Gonzalez, your pastoral encourager here in Southwest Florida, and I'm so delighted to be with you on air, online, and in media ministry for over 30 years now. So thank you for sitting with me at the feet of the Lord to listen for His heart to touch our hearts. So today, we're starting a brand new series for the month of January as we continue a journey through the portraits of God. And oh, I'm really excited to share this particular portrait that I see throughout the scriptures, though you will seldom hear much mentioned about this particular portrait of God and what He is modeling for us and what He calls us to do. And so if you're a note taker, this series will be called He is Our Empowering Rest. Our empowering rest. Now, I know that sounds unusual. Empowering, things, you know, empower, getting strong and mighty, and then rest. How does that go together? Well, that's the whole point, and that's what we'll be talking about together for the next few weeks. And if you have your Bibles, we're going to be starting just by way of overview, Matthew chapter 11, then we'll go to Hebrews chapter 4, and Psalm 2, and Romans 7, and 2 Timothy 2. The scripture has so much to say on this theme, so I can't wait to get to it with you. And hey, just a reminder, as you're making your way to that text, that all of these messages, these 27-minute radio broadcasts, are archived on my website, markpg.org. So when you get there on the landing page, just click on the gray box that says Broadcasts. There are other gray boxes like articles and then videos, 3-minute videos on the portraits of God that I do, and then some printable guides on all kinds of topics from the scripture that you can click on and other resources. But the gray box that says Broadcast, click on that one, and then the next page, click on Portraits of God, and then you'll start seeing the archives of these radio broadcasts. So that's markpg.org. So I wanted to make sure you got that. Hey, so as we get started, as is our custom, though, let's go before the Lord and ask Him to speak. And by the way, that website that I'm sending you to is called Helping You Hear God, because that's the goal of anything that I write or produce a video about or the radio broadcast, always, always wanting to help you hear God. So let's ask Him to speak, shall we? Well, Lord, we are just so grateful we get to come to sit at Your feet anytime we want, whether it's personally and individually in a quiet time, whether it's with our mate, whether it's with our family, whether it's with friends, whether it's in church, wherever we are, we get to sit at Your feet and listen for You to speak to our hearts from Your heart. And so as we get ready to start a journey this month into this topic of how You are our empowering rest, Lord, I pray that we will see that this is nothing less than a gift from above to us, not an obligation. So thank You, Lord, for how You do have a yearning for us to discover You as our empowering rest. Oh, thank You, Lord. We love You, Lord, and we pray this in the powerful name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and by His precious cleansing and healing, transforming, empowering, and forgiving blood. Amen. Amen and amen. All right, my friends. One of my favorite portions of Scripture, I mean, there's so many, to be honest with you, but one of my favorites, especially given the hectic pace of our lifestyles, of our cultures, the constant demands, do lists that are way too long, responsibilities that are very heavy on our shoulders, things that are happening in the degradation of our cultures and the spiritual warfare that's taking place and the anger that's out there and so much happening in this world that's just heartbreaking. I mean, it can be absolutely overwhelming, and we can get incredibly emotionally fatigued. And so in the last few years, especially after the COVID era, and then here in Florida having some hurricane challenges and stuff, and I tell you, I'm just finding myself drawn more and more to Matthew chapter 11 verses 28 through 29, which is kind of the overarching theme of this portrait of God that I'm calling how he is our empowering rest. And so here's what the Bible says. Jesus is talking and he says, "Come unto me, all you that are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls." So here's the key theme for this mini-series we're doing this month. That is that the Lord, our empowering rest, is always there for us to refresh, restore, and strengthen our souls. My friend, you will be strengthened if you learn the art and the habit of resting in the Lord. And we're going to have 10 takeaways, 10 examples of this in our series today. And so let's go to the first one where we'll find over in Hebrews chapter 4, verses 2 through 3. Hebrews 4, 2 through 3, the scripture says this: "For indeed we have had good news preached to us, reunited by faith, for we who have believed enter that rest." I love that. It's talking about the gospel. It's talking about accepting the gospel, coming to Christ, being born again, being saved. Here it says, being united by faith, believing in him. So he who believed entered that rest. The rest of what? The rest of his salvation. So here's number one, if you're a note taker, about how the Lord, our empowering rest, yearns for us to rest in his son's salvation. That's number one, rest in his son's salvation. You know, when we stop and think about the condition of the lost person, before each of us came to that place in our lives when we said that, "Lord, everything I have, all that I am, I give to you. I am doomed. I am sinful. I have been rebellious. I need you. Lord, I want to marry you or enter covenant with you." There's so many ways that the Bible expresses this. My friend, when we get saved, when we enter into the Lord's salvation that he offers to us by his grace, by faith, there's a rest there that becomes fully available to us immediately. How is that so? Well, you know, let's go to Psalm 2, verses 1 through 3 for a moment. Listen to this. "Why do the heathen rage?" Wow, let's stop right there for a moment. The heathen are raging. What does it mean? Are they going about with temper tantrums all the time? Well, some do. But no, there's a rage going on inside. There's a warfare going on inside of us before we are saved. We're yearning for peace. We're yearning for truth. We're yearning for something bigger than ourselves. We're yearning for someone or something that can deal with our pain and our hurt and our disillusionment and our disorientation. Why do the heathen rage inside? Because we have not been born again. We've not entered into the rest that salvation brings. Continuing on in Psalm 2, it starts off, "Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us." Now, that's pretty graphic when we're thinking in terms of kings and kingdoms and the obvious heathen that are out there raging against the ways of God and God himself. But even we as individuals, before we got saved, we might not have been as demonstrative in our rage or anger or disorientation and all that in the Lord, against the Lord, but that is our condition. And sometimes we don't even realize it. Over in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 24 through 26, it's a marvelous, marvelous passage. It says that the servant of the Lord, that's us, we're bond servants of the Lord voluntarily, must not strive, but be gentle and able to teach, and patient when wronged, and with gentleness correcting those that are in opposition, that God may grant them repentance. That means a change of mind. I was headed away from the Lord. I make a 180-degree turn, change my mind, change my heart to pursue the Lord. That God may give them repentance, leading to the knowledge of the truth, that they might come to their senses and escape from the snare of the devil, being taken captive by him to do his will. See, the lost person is in the snare of the devil and may not even realize it. To give you a word, or kind of a picture of that, it's kind of like we're in a deep, dark dungeon with our feet tied together, our hands tied behind our backs. We're hanging upside down on a meat hook from that rope around our ankles, swinging to and fro, saying, oh, with a blindfold, and saying, man, I'm glad I have control of my life. I don't want to come to Christ and tell me what to do and have to do. I love having full control of my life. We don't. We absolutely don't. We've been duped by the enemy. And deep down inside, our hearts are raging, but we don't call it that. Romans chapter 7, verses 23 through 25 give us a similar picture. It says, I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Oh, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with my mind I serve the law of God, but with my flesh the law of sin. And he goes on to talk about how once we come to Christ, there is no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. We become saved, cleansed by the blood of the Lamb, one with the Lord. We enter the family of God. There's a rest there. The fight is over. The courtroom drama is done. We don't have to rage internally anymore. We are safe and secure in the grace and the love of the Lord. By grace, we are saved through faith, that not of ourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. My friend, back to our passage here for number one out of the 10 takeaways we're talking about here. As the Lord is our empowering rest, he tells us to rest in his Son's salvation. Rest in his Son's salvation. Scripture said, for indeed we have had good news preached to us, united by faith, for we who have believed enter that rest. I love that. I love that. Well, the Bible has more to say about this theme, about the rest that the Lord provides for us. And so let me take you over to Genesis chapter 2, where we have a description of how the Lord modeled for us how important it is to take a day of rest. Let me pick it up for you there and Genesis 2:2, where the Bible says this, by the seventh day, God completed his work, which he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work, which he had done. Now, that's amazing. That's Genesis 2. Now, you know, if you know your Bibles, when we get to Exodus 20, verse 11, which is going to be point number 3, it says this, for in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth and rested on the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. So let's talk about this. Let's talk about how the Lord rested on the seventh day. This is number 2. Our first takeaway about the Lord, our empowering rest, is that he yearns for us to, number 1, rest in his Son's salvation. So I hope you do. Express your gratefulness unto the Lord that he saved you and you no longer have to rage inside. Now, number 2, we rest in the way that he rested. We rest in the way that he rested. That's what he wants us to do. Oh, rest in the way that he rested, my friends. Now, did God have to take a day of rest? Well, of course not. But he did. Why did he do that? He was modeling for us the importance to rest every seventh day of the week. We're going to talk more about that when we talk about the commandment itself, but I just want to talk about the principle of the importance of resting and not always being driven, not always working hard, not always pressing on. There are times where you just have to rest, and God, every seventh day, did so as a model for us. You know, there's an old adage that says this: if the bow is always bent, it will break. Now, obviously, it's talking about a bow and arrow. And when archers are not using their very expensive and well-made bows, they unhook the string. They take the tension off the bow and let it rest. Let it stay in its case or its satchel or up against the wall, whatever it is, but not under constant tension. If the bow is always bent, it will break. And you will too, my friends. If you are bypassing the seventh day, the Sabbath day of rest, you're not taking time out to say, you know, I'm just gonna chill. Then you're gonna miss the blessing that God intended for us to rest on a regular basis. Even we're discovering this in exercise therapy and workouts and getting stronger. You know, there are those who say, I want to be really strong, so every day I'm going to do this run or this workout. Well, no, they're saying now, listen, your muscles need to rest. They need to have time to rest and recovery, especially if you're lifting weights. The whole idea of building the bulky muscles and stuff is that you actually are tearing them down with the heavy lifting, but then you have to rest to give it time to heal back up and get bigger. And then with repeated times, they get bigger and bigger. But if you do not take the time to rest your muscles, if you're running all the time every day, playing tennis every day, doing your trip to the gym every day, and you don't vary what you're doing or vary the muscles that you're using, you're actually being counterproductive. Even our bodies need muscular rest and workouts. And of course, we need our nights of sleep. It needs to rest. The body heals and gets stronger, gets empowered in rest. And so it is spiritually, my friends. Don't neglect the call of God to rest in the way that He rested. Even in agriculture, there are seasons when you don't plant in the field, that you need to let the ground lie fallow so it can get recharged with the nutrients that it needs for the crops to come. You can't plant the same crop in the same ground year after year after year. Even the ground has to rest. We should rest in the way that He rested. Wow. Now, related to that is number three. Now, we just saw how in Genesis 2, verse 2, that God rested on the seventh day from all of His work, which He had done in the creation of the world. And so, by the time we get to Exodus chapter 20 and the giving of the Ten Commandments, God gives us that tenth commandment, that in the 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth and rested on the seventh day, and therefore He blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. And He wants us to remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. So here's number three. The Lord, our empowering rest, yearns for us to rest in His gift of the Sabbath. Do you see the Sabbath day as a gift from above, or do you see it as an obligation, something that God is making us do? Now, by the way, let me just say this quickly. It's a cycle of 7 days. Whether you make Sunday the day one in your count, or Monday your day one, it's just whether it ends up being on Saturday or Sunday. Traditionally, we have it on Sunday in most of Christendom. The point is, every seventh day in a cycle of seven, depending on where you start counting, you should set aside as holy as unto the Lord, as the day that you focus on Him and His people and your family to recharge and to replenish, all of that. Now, the problem is we get kind of pharisaical about it, because the Pharisees had taken the Sabbath day and totally twisted it. They came up with a bunch of rules and regulations during the intertestamental period. By the time that the curtain rises in the New Testament, the Pharisees had developed a Sabbath practice that they were policing, that you couldn't carry this much water, you couldn't do this thing, and all these rules to make sure you did not work on the Sabbath. And they missed the whole point. And this is when Jesus was saying, man was not made for the Sabbath. The Sabbath was made for man. God gave us the Sabbath as a gift, as a day that we are to recognize should be set aside to not do all the things we're doing the rest of the week, all the responsibilities and the work and the stress kind of thing, and just take a day to chill with Him, with His people, with our family, to do the kinds of things that will restore and replenish our soul. So let me see if I can illustrate this for us. So years ago, many years ago now, my wife and I lived in Fort Worth, Texas, and we had three little boys back then. And my older sister and her husband also had a little boy, and they lived in Waco, Texas. But my mom and dad lived down in Austin. And so my brother-in-law in Waco was in the ministry. I was in the ministry, so it was hard for us to get days off that coincided. But one particular year, we were actually able to make it down to my parents in Austin, Texas, to celebrate Christmas with them and my other two siblings who happened to live in Austin at the time. They were single at the time. But anyway, this is one of the rare times we were all able to gather to celebrate Christmas in my parents' home. Now, down in Austin, Texas, it rarely snows. I mean, I can remember as a little boy, we had the blizzard of 1963. We had 2 whole inches. Yeah, we couldn't build a snowman, but we could build a snow snake. A little later, you know, it snowed a little more, so we could build a snow hamster, but not enough snow to make a snowman anyway. But here's what happened. Fast forward from that day in my childhood when we had a little bit of snow to the day when we had married. We did have children. We were gathered on this Christmas, and we actually had a rare, rare occurrence of a white Christmas in Austin, Texas. Now, since it rarely snowed there, there was not within the city, you know, all the kinds of equipment you need to make the roads more passable and safe and all those things. I mean, everything just came to a shutdown because it snowed the next day as well. Well, that meant that we got snowed in. We could not go back to Fort Worth. My sister and her husband could not go back to Waco. For the next few days, we were snowed in. What a wonderful, unexpected gift of extra time with family to chill, enjoy each other, not worry about the regular responsibilities we have to normally do day in and day out, and just enjoy the Lord and each other on these unexpected snow days. Well, my friend, every Sabbath is intended to be a snow day, a time when we just say, you know what? Not going to worry about work, not going to worry about school, we're just going to take a deep breath, get off the merry-go-round of life, and just have a picnic with the family, with the Lord, with His people, and let our souls get replenished. Don't let the enemy bring up a Pharisaical approach to the Sabbath. Do the things that do replenish you. If it's a vigorous game of tennis, I love tennis, go play tennis, you know, or something with a friend. Enjoy the family, enjoy the Lord, worship together. This is what the Sabbath was intended to do. And then from that, we get the word sabbatical, to take a sabbatical, you know, those that are in ministry, especially pastors and lead pastors that, wow, we're on the clock 24/7. I remember all those years. I was a local church pastor for 35 years before becoming an overseer of many of our churches, all of our churches here in Southwest Florida. But a sabbatical, about every seventh year, you just have to break away for 2-3 months and just get recharged. Just get replenished. Just get refreshed. I remember as a young staff member in a mega church, my first ministry. I was one of 12 pastors on a staff in a mega church when I was in my 20s, many years ago now. But our lead pastor said, "Now, guys, don't forget, you need to divert daily, withdraw weekly, and abandon annually." What was he saying? Divert daily. Make sure you divert daily for your daily quiet time of resting, listening for the Lord, reading His Word, breathing, meditating. Divert daily, but then withdraw weekly. Make sure you have a genuine time of worship every week, every seventh day of the cycle. Withdraw weekly, and then abandon annually. Take 2 or 3 days off a year, maybe between Christmas and New Year's, to go away with the Lord and say, "Lord, how did I do this year? And where are you taking me next year?" I always love that. And I've done my best to practice it. Divert daily, withdraw weekly, and abandon annually, my friends. And you will be experiencing the Lord as your empowering rest. You will be strengthened by resting more regularly, as the Lord modeled for us and called us by giving us the gift of the Sabbath. Well, Lord, thank you for this journey that we are taking and discovering how you are our empowering rest. And Lord, we never want to take that for granted. We don't want to abuse it or neglect it. So thank you for the privilege of being able to sit at your feet and gaze in your eyes and receive your rest and replenishment for our souls. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I'm Mark Gonzalez. Oh, until next time, enjoy the Lord as your empowering rest.